Romans chapter 8. One simple truth written in the scripture regarding people, something like a cliff. There's a man here, and there's a ledge there, and let's put a ledge there, and a common view that people have regarding sin is that we have sinned and we've fallen off the ledge and we landed there. Fallen off the edge and landed on a ledge. Off the edge on a ledge. Okay. In that if we are really sincere, we can make our way back up. Maybe with some effort, sincerity, good intentions. This is very common. People that do not know the Bible, do not know the gospel, people that do not know what it means to be a sinner would think this way. I made some mistakes. I'm not so good in my life all the time, every day, but I'm quite good, you know. Generally, the people believe man is good and some are bad. But the Bible teaches all of us. We have not fallen just to a ledge there or here, but it's been total fall, all of us. You say, Pastor, I work at the hospital. I work with a doctor. He is such a great guy. You would not believe it. He is so self-sacrificing, so honest. Such honor is put upon that man. It's amazing. You cannot say he is so bad. But, in fact, we are all this way, like 100%. Let me try to explain it to you. If you have a drum of drinking water and you just put a little drop of something unclean in the drinking water, would you drink it? Maybe you would. I remember I was in Cyprus. I told the story sitting with a group of people eating a sandwich. This man, before he ordered, he got in an argument with the waiter. The waiter brought the food, gave him his sandwich, and he just sat there like this. And he would lift up the top roll, look at it, and put it back and sit for more than an hour. And I was watching because he was sitting next to me. And I asked the pastor, why didn't he eat his sandwich? He said, because of the argument he got with the waiter, he believed that the waiter spit in his sandwich and wouldn't eat it. Okay, would you eat the sandwich? I definitely would if I paid for it. And I wouldn't believe he spit in it. But I got the idea that maybe he had worked in a restaurant and spit in somebody's sandwich. And it's coming back on him now. Okay? What I'm trying to say is that doctor at the hospital, as honorable as he is, has a nature that is totally fallen, and we are all like an unclean thing. In the eyes of God, he knows all about us. And because of this sin that happened with Adam and Eve, they didn't fall off a cliff, literally. But by illustration, we're saying they sinned and the fall was complete and great. And there's no way you can make it back up. You cannot save yourself. You cannot redeem yourself. You cannot restore yourself. This is in the context of God, of find favor with God. I am an enemy of God. This is 100% for sure. You say, but Pastor, I know these people believe in God. I understand that. But the scripture is clear. If you take away from people their money, their food, their water, their housing, their bed, if you take away from them their wife or their children, if you hurt them, if you put people under pressure, something comes out. It comes out. And we understand that. We're human beings. I am saying that in the eyes of God, we are all an unclean thing. And there was no way any of us could make it to heaven. Meaning, none of us could be justified, or none of us could be righteous before a holy God. Just like if you had a bucket of water with one drop of something unclean in it, you're not going to drink it. So God cannot relate to us this way. He had to do something about it. And this is the message of the gospel. God went all the way here, and he brought us all the way up higher than Adam and Eve. Where Adam and Eve were in the garden, Christ went all the way to the Father. Adam and Eve were mortal. Christ is glorified. I mean, they had mortal bodies. Adam and Eve, though they had not yet the sentence of death on them, still they were not yet glorified. But Christ ascended up glorified at the right hand of the Father. We that have believed in him have been made righteous. An amazing gift of grace, 100% righteous. For he that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This assurance is important for us because assurance has an effect on you and I. It reveals the nature of our God. And this is the only doctrine in all the world. This is the only gospel. Other messages are more like this. You have fallen, landed on the ledge, make your way back. You make your way back. In Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, and of course in the Christian faith, you could go to a church and hear that kind of teaching where you pull yourself up by the bootstraps, you improve yourself, you be good long enough, you make your way back. But it isn't true. No, this is not the gospel. Let me make another point regarding that. In civil law, when a man murders somebody and he's 20 years old, and he, in his heart, is sorry for what he did. He murdered somebody when he was 20 years old, but he never was caught. And in 40 years, he lived as a good man. Maybe even he became a religious man. Whatever it is that he did, when he's now 60 years old, and he's found out, he could say to the court, "Yes, I did this, but for 40 years, I've been a good man." Will the 40 years cancel out what he did at 20? It will not. He will go to jail. Your goodness cannot cancel out the problem that you have in your life of sin. There's no way that I, as a good man, could cancel out my sin. It must be a totally different system. Totally different message. A work of the cross. This is the difference. That God became a man so that we would be justified. God became a man so his blood would wash our sin away. God, Christ came so that we would be saved by grace, not by anything we do, but believe. When you believe, you're just believing. It's an attitude, believing, that's all. When my daughter was little, I put her on top of the car and just step back and just say, "Jump." And she'd look at me. I go, "Come on." get a little closer to her to make her feel she could do it. Come on. And she just did it. What was that? What did it mean to me as a dad? Like my daughter, I'm having fun with her. What do I enjoy about it? Relationship. I want a relationship with my daughter. I want her to feel like she can trust me. And I would be, and if I had her fall, that would be a tragic thing in my relationship with her. She'd be on the ground crying, and she'd be like, you know, Daddy, why did you do that, right? It's not a good thing. When you catch her, I hug her, kiss her, put her back up, do it again. She's doing flips off the back. And, you know, half gainers and the whole thing. And you as a dad or mom or friend or whatever case it may be, are enjoying the relationship. You enjoy it. You want to catch her. You want her to love you. You want to love her. Very simply, God is saying, you got problems, I am God. I am the one you need. I'm not like other gods. And nor am I thinking the way you are thinking. Isaiah 55, verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. Your thoughts are, I am a little bit bad, I'll try to get back. Your thoughts are, maybe if I go to church long enough, maybe if I work hard enough at it, maybe if I improve, maybe if I read the self-help books, maybe I'll make progress, maybe I'll change this way or that way. But listen, this is a lot better. It's called the gospel. The gospel is the gospel of Christ. It's the message of grace. It's the work of God. It's the forgiveness of Christ. It's the ministry that is shockingly important, that saves and changes a man or a woman. I met a man in Dundalk yesterday. Jeremy and I, we were soul winning with Randy and others, and we met this man. He said, thanks for sharing. He put his hand out. We shook hands. He goes, thanks. That's really good. You're out here talking, telling people. I go, what's your story? He said, 10 years ago, I was a heroin addict. I moved away from Baltimore. I went to Ocean City. Down there, I was trying to make it. I went to a worship center, a church down there, and I got free. And Jesus Christ changed my life. And it's been 10 years. Now I'm back in Baltimore, and I'm looking for a church. And we invited him, and he said, I can't come tomorrow, but maybe the next time. And that would be great to have him. But I'm just saying, God works by the gospel. The gospel means God does it. The gospel is the gospel of grace. Now turn to Romans 8, please. And this is I just explained to you the context of this chapter 8. And we're going to look at a great promise here, which all of us need to understand. And it's in verse 28. Praise God. Say praise God with me, please. Praise God. Say it loudly. Hey! How about shouting like I can? Hey! Hey, praise God! Hey, hey! The gospel! The gospel! Wow. What is this? The greatest thing anybody. Look at verse 28. We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good. This is amplified. We know all things work together for good. All things. We know. Now, that's not the only part of our message. We're going to move, kind of get going, go to verse 29. But I want to make a point here. All of us should know that everything that happens in our life is by the sovereign hand of God allowed. There are things that God allows to happen in your life, the good and the bad. And he allows it, and we are also guilty of making bad decisions and finding ourselves in trouble. But this verse is the overall end game, the plan. End game, what happens? Everything works together for good. For us that are redeemed, that means you are saved. For us that are sanctified, made righteous. Now, sometimes we see the good. I drive up 95, I make it to my destination, I make a call, I end up with a benefit, something works out. I say at the end of the day, Lord, that was amazing, thank you. All things work for good. I can see it, hallelujah, in the circumstances. Next week, I drive up 95, I'm in a car accident, I make the wrong phone call, I talk to the wrong person, I get in some trouble, I end up in jail. All things do not work for good. Now, I cannot see that. What's the point? This is working for good. Is it bad? It is. How did it happen? Long story. I don't really know how all that happened. It just happened. I don't know. I made some bad decisions, and I met the wrong people, and I made the wrong statement. I got in some trouble. I can't believe this happened to me, and here I am. And things do not work for good, according to me, my eyes, my experience. Please work on this in your heart and in your mind. Because the Bible is saying, I want to say more. The Bible is saying it, but I want you to hear it from God. I want you to grow in your relationship with God, with your own Bible, in such a way that you become a believer in what God is saying, and that it will challenge your natural man. Sometimes we just go to the refrigerator. Remember that message? But what is on top of the refrigerator is what my mom brought home and doesn't want me to get. And I can't see it, but I can feel it. I'm tall enough because I'm 13 years old. And when I reach it, I pushed it back. I can't see it, but I know mama came home and put the goodies up there. And it's up there, but I cannot see it. And I cannot get at it. That's where you want to live. You want to live by faith. You want to live for the things that you cannot get your hand on. You want to believe that this is going to work together for good, though I cannot see it, but he said it. And I might not even see it in this lifetime, but it says in the next verse, 29, it says, for those whom he foreknew. Let's draw a picture for that. For those whom he foreknew. Let's draw a circle. This is foreknow or foreknowledge. What does it mean? Before you were made, God knew everything. There are no surprises. The day you ended up in jail and you were innocent, or you ended up in jail and you are guilty, God already knows all details about every life. in every way. There is no question about it. And he knows you from eternity past. And he makes a link, a chain. We're going to make a chain with these words in these two verses in a minute. But read 29 with me, please. For those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his Son and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. End game, you're going to be like Christ. That's what he foreknows and has planned. End game, have you ever, you got ever get in trouble and then there's a bigger game going on? Have you ever gotten into a situation and the thing is so little compared to the big thing? Like maybe you got in trouble, you owed your brother a dollar, and your dad comes home and says, I got a surprise for you. And it's a big game changer. Anything happen where, you know, you failed in a test, but then like something came into the picture. You got a scholarship, and who cares about the spelling test? There's a big game changer. There's something heavy duty and big that is happening in your life. And you're sitting in prison saying, like, how does this work together for good? And I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to be in that, and I'm not welcoming it either, Lord. I don't want to be in trouble. But, I mean, if you are, there's a promise. There's a mindset. There's a mentality that you must learn that is just on the top of the refrigerator, just beyond your reach, but it is yours. And God wants you to have it, but he can't give it to you without you living by faith. For when you live by faith, God reveals by his Spirit his mind. And I want to hit that point. By faith, you live by faith. You don't only get saved and you're here like you're just kind of here and good, solid ground. You got saved and here you are, but you are saved, and I want to go by faith. I want to live by faith. So we start going to church. Your mother says, what are you doing? I'm going to church. I thought you went there last week. Yeah, Mom, I go all the time now. Why do you do that? Because I'm living by faith. I'm praying. How? By faith. I'm reading the scripture by faith. I've got new friends in my life by faith. I'm making decisions by faith. I'm not stopping. I started by faith, and I want to live by faith. I'm going to forgive people by faith. I'm going to pray for my enemies by faith. I'm going to learn how to live this life by faith, because God has planned that I would be conformed to his image, and I'm going to take it. Now listen to this. If I don't take it, it's still guaranteed that I will be conformed to the image of his Son. Well, then why do it? Because life is meant to know God, and my benefit is that I get to know God. And can you know God without faith? Not really. The way you know God is to live by faith, for without faith, it is impossible to please him. Listen, my daughter's on the top of the car. She's like 2 years old. Bethany, come on, jump. Nope. Come on, Ben, come on. Okay, so we got to work with her. But she doesn't jump, so it's the end of the game. I mean, it's not any fun. Not any fun for her or for me, because I just take her down from the car. Okay, that's the way it is. That's no problem. Maybe she will learn. You understand what I mean? Like, God is not forcing us. It must be free will. God is not making it a condition for salvation. He has decided to save us when we were lost. So nothing now in my life, belief or unbelief, is not going to change the grace of God that went all the way to the cross while I was an unbeliever and died for me when I was a sinner. That could not change what he had decided in eternity past regarding you and I. But having decided that and revealing it to us, then why wouldn't we trust in a living God that has more for us than we could ever imagine? Look at verse 32, says it. He that spared not his own son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Okay. Now look at 29. We have foreknowledge, and we're almost done here in a few minutes, but look at verse 30, and you're going to help me, because I need you to call out the word. Guys, there's a link of five words here, and we're going to make on our sketch up here a chain, and I want you to see something in the chain. The first word is foreordained, foreknowing, rather. What's the next word? Predestined. We can use the King James. What is it? Whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestine. Who predestined us? God did it. Then what's the next word? He called. Who did it? God called us. What's the next word? Justified. That's the next one. Justified. What's the next one? Glorified. Who did that? God did all these. There are five of them. Kind of, you can remember it because grace is five letters in English. Grace, right? None of them were done by man. Man did not, he doesn't foreknow. He didn't predestinate. He did not call. He did not justify. And he does not glorify. Only God can do these words, these actions of God. Why is this important? Because we are to be people with assurance. We are to be people that have confidence about God and his nature. This is about the nature of God, that he is the God of grace. And he wants us to know it. If I don't know it, if I don't know that God saves me by his grace and that he keeps me and that my salvation is secure, then how can I really evangelize so well? I know I could, but they would answer back to me, all right, you're saying I can get saved by the grace of God, right? And I say, right. Then are you sure? Are you saved? And you say, I hope so. So why would I, you hope so? Are you sure about it? Yeah, I hope I am. You know, there are some little, you better behave once you get saved. The guy will say, you know what? I don't behave well. Maybe this won't work for me. Guys, I need something powerful. I need something extraordinary. We are able to say we have something extraordinary. Only God does it. God keeps you. God saves you, and God has promised that the end game is you are conformed to the image of his son. Are you sure? Yes. As sure as the reality of the incarnation, God's love for the world, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Not to condemn us, but to save us. Once being saved, we would realize the gospel, that this happened by the grace of God, that he reached all the way. And you might say, you know, am I really that bad? The answer is you are. You are. You can't believe how bad you are. We're knocking on doors here in Baltimore. One woman said, she opened the door. I said, you know, I'm sharing the message of, you know, we are sinners. She said, oh, I'm not that really. And you can ask my neighbor. So I did. I went to the next door. I said, this woman said that she's not that bad. And they said, yes, she is. And she's a nice woman and so on. And I said, do the police have her records? And I said to the woman, so we started. It was lighthearted, and I'm having a good time with her. And I said, wow, you are a good woman. Your neighbor says so. You say so. I'm tending to believe that you are. You are. I am sure. Compare us as people talking about you. You're not. You got it. You're a good one. You're one of those good ones. And she goes, yeah. I'm glad you recognize that. I'm glad you know that. I go, now listen, I got to ask you a question. If God was here, what would he say about you? Are you good? Are you really? Every thought. I mean, in the eyes of the police department, you're like number one citizen. But in the eyes of God, you aren't. And this is where the gospel comes in, because life is tragic, and the only answer is glorious gospel, resurrection, gift of God, salvation, work of grace. Let's not fool ourselves. And once we have that, we have the greatest thing that anybody could ever have in this life, a relationship with a holy God, prayers that pray that can move mountains, a fellowship with the living Christ, a relationship where God said, I am your Father, a relationship where God says, I will never leave you, never forsake you. Though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be there with my rod and my staff. They will comfort you, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's a great error lurking in our countryside, streets, and cities. Great error. People do not know this amazing gospel. That it's all by grace. We had Pastor Ray here this morning. He shared. He's been going into the woods along Route 40, back up past the tracks there. And there's more than 600 homeless people that live in the woods back there. And we see them come out, and they're panhandling on the Route 40 and the streets and so on. And he said 60 of them. He's gone in with his team, and 60 of them have come to this church in 1 year. And this is what he said. 32 have gotten saved. I've heard a few numbers. 60 have come. 32 have gotten saved. 12 are out of the woods, and they live in homes. And 16 of them have overdosed and died. And I was thinking, the gospel, that's the answer. The gospel, Christ preached. Prayers, love, faith. How do you go into the woods? By faith. How do you share the message with somebody you don't know on a college campus? By wisdom, by faith, by love, by prayer. And you say, God, open my mouth so that I can love people in my heart and share the message, because this is what it means. Look up on the screen. There are people walking the earth today. God foreknows them. God predestines them. God calls them. God justifies them. And God glorifies them. And it's all sure. It's done. Because when God's Son died on the cross, He did all of this so that we would be reconciled to a living and a holy God. And that living and holy God would be in our life on a day-to-day basis. And that living and holy God would anoint us with the Holy Spirit so that we could think about Him and love Him and relate to Him. And He goes, come on, jump. And then we jump and He catches us. And it's His delight that we live by faith. And it's our joy that we can feel Him, His presence, His mind, His heart. There it is. Look at verse in closing, 31. What shall we say to all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Wow. Here I am. I got a good day, good week, good month, good year, good 10 years. Okay? I don't want this to happen, but I have a bad day, bad week, bad month, bad 10 years. But I don't have bad 10 years. If God is for me, who can be against me? I can feel it. The Holy Spirit is saying, I am with you. Joseph, I am with you in prison. Interpret the dream. I can't interpret any dream, but if you can give me the interpretation, you are God. You can do that for me. Yes, I can. For your prison cell is not really such a big deal to me. I am God, and I have a day when I'm going to bring you out. And Joseph is one of those stories where you can see that all the things that happened to him worked for good. But we cannot always see it. We can know it, that if God, where's God? Ah, I got the cookies. Where's God? I got it. If God is for me, who can be against me? I got it. I got it in the church, in the Holy Spirit. I got it in, I don't know, it just happened to me. I live by faith. I got it in the prayer meeting. Please gather together as small groups. Please gather together and encourage. Please give phone calls to each other and edify and learn how to use your gifts and be edifying and reach out and help each other out in the life of faith. Because God is amongst us. Read books, have fellowship with Christ, stir up your heart, stir up your faith. Don't beat up yourself, but be edified in the faith. Because our God, if He is for us, who can be against us? One time, now I'll finish with this one, I really will. I think so. But I got to just say, one time I wondered, I go, is the blessing left me? Has the blessing left me? This kind of came upon me some time in this past months, you know. I just had that thought. Is the blessing gone? Yes, it could be gone. No, it's not. I mean, I want the blessing of God, but just think about this. Is the blessing gone? Now, I had this thought about it, or feeling about it. And I thought, oh my gosh, that would be horrible if the blessing was gone. The only thing I have is that. Who cares if you have, you have this or you have that. The things that people look for in life, like do you have a great wife or healthy children or a nice house or a good job or something. I mean, people have, that's what they look for. But I am thankful for what I have, but I have to go to the other place. And I got to say, is the blessing of God on my life? That is irreplaceable. It doesn't matter how great your wife is if you don't have the blessing of God on your life. It doesn't matter. If I am a single man and I'm blessed of God, I am blessed of God. If I don't have much money and I got a blessing, I'm blessed of God Almighty. God has blessed me. You see what I mean? And you are. And I am. I did some praying. I checked my attitude. I go, Lord, whatever you do, don't take that from me. Because it's the only thing that matters at the end of the day. Who cares about all the other things? Seek not the things that are of the world. Seek the things that are in heaven. Seek the things that make a profound difference. Seek the things that really matter. And what I'm saying to you this morning is, you see the ring? That chain cannot be broken because none of those links are dealing with men. They're not from men. Men don't do these things. God does them. And from the beginning to the end, from foreordination to glorification, it's all happened in the mind of God. It's all done and finished. It's all what's called in the Greek aorist tense. It's not a time-sensitive tense in the Greek. It's just a state, like that door is closed. See that door right there, number two? It's closed, and that's all that it means. Doesn't mean it is closing, it will close, or that it has been closed. It just says it's closed, period. Nothing to do with time. Same with these words. They are not, you will be or predestined, you will be called, you will be justified, you will be glorified. It is all done. It's finished. Because when God received his Son, he also received you. And it's all done and finished. Because when God said, come up and sit at my right hand, then that made it clear that you and I, though we are sinners, have been justified by a living God through the blood of his Son, making our life secure. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Okay? Amen. This is an important part of the service. We had three hands this morning, and the 9 o'clock service was beautiful. And we want to pray right now for anybody listening, anybody sitting here, anybody kind of not knowing for sure, anybody kind of thinking about it, anybody who's never come by faith to Christ to do it this morning. And it is serious and powerful. All you do is believe in him. You say, I have doubts. It's okay. A mustard seed is enough. You're saved by faith. Believe in him. Believe that Jesus Christ came. Believe that Jesus Christ was raised. Believe in Jesus personally. And you are saved by his grace, forgiven and justified. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in you, that's all. Just, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. It's in your heart. It's what you're at. It's between you and God. But we want to assure you, if you're saying that prayer, you are born again. You are saved. Your sins are forgiven. Your name is in the book of life. God is your Father. You can talk to him and relate to him. And he keeps you. And loves you and will teach you and show you. It's beautiful. You repent from your evil ways. You say, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to turn it over. I'm going to believe you because of your new birth. God gives you a new nature. Now feed it. Walk with him by faith. God will answer you. It's not hard. It's very easy. It's God loves you. That's all. He loves you. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. Then would you raise your hand if you're saying that prayer, just so the ushers can give you a book and we could just recognize that you're saying yes to Jesus. Anyone here, just raise your hand. Anybody? Yes to Jesus, anybody? All right, then amen.